This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Spiegel and Holmes.
All right, well, we navigated that pretty well. I was worried. But I'm always worried.
So. That's your thing.
Yeah, that's my bit.
Afternoons on the Score.
The other change for Belichick is 24-year-old Jordan Hudson, his creative muse, as he writes in his book.
Make sure that that's the...
Jordan was a constant presence during our interview.
You have Jordan right over there. Everybody in the world seems to be following this relationship. They've got an opinion about your private life. It's got nothing to do with them, but they're invested in it. How do you deal with that?
Never been too worried about what everybody else thinks. Just try to do what I feel like is best for me and what's right.
How did you guys meet?
Not talking about this.
No?
No.
It's a topic neither one of them is comfortable commenting on.
It's possible that years from now, we look back at that 60 Minutes interview and go, that was the moment when we knew something was wrong in this whole thing, the situationship that they find themselves in. But maybe...
Situationship. That's a good portmanteau. I don't know that one.
That's what... Will Smith and
Jada.
Yeah, she was in a situationship,
man.
Something with that very handsome young singer.
Yeah, they're
forget his name though.
I don't know, but they're what's the technical term for Will and Jada? Crazy people?
No, I well,
that might be my term.
That might be
that's
your
not,
term.
That's not fair. It's not fair. I don't know what the term is. Anyway, situationship, Bill. And Jordan, go ahead, sir.
Well,
what do we got going on here?
Here's the thing. As someone who occasionally has to be handled and managed, I understand to a degree how this can happen. Mel had to do a lot of that for me, of the like managing of stuff. Like managing me over committing to things and stuff like that. I think there are a lot of men who are in that situation where you are, it's nice to have someone who knows you and knows like where your lines are and is able to navigate that for you. It would feel different, and this is our own bias. It would feel different if she were older or he were younger.
Lawrence, I introduce my wife as my wife and my personal manager, you know, and my stylist. I introduce her as all of those things.
She's doing a good job at all of that.
I appreciate that very much. I agree. And she doesn't really have those titles, and she doesn't really do all of that, you know, all the time. But, you know, her input is vital. So I feel you. I feel you on that. But what we're seeing, what's starting to feel like it's kind of unraveling with Bill Belichick and his girlfriend, is starting to feel very unseemly. And it's making me think that this rabbit hole might go for a while. And I'm a little freaked out about what's on the bottom of it, because there's some... It feels like that video and then the other stuff that's come out has felt like there is... If there's a transactional nature going on, and I'm not sure he's aware of all of the transactions that are going on.
Well,
you feel me on that?
There was the story about the $8 million real estate portfolio that she's put together, and God bless her. Like, I don't know a lot about that area of Boston that she bought in, but apparently, like, that's the come-up neighborhood. Like, that's the next neighborhood to come up there. So That's her making a wise investment.
And when I say transactional, I'm not saying necessarily even just pure money. Just like there's some, oh, now I have control and now I can do this and you can do whatever you want with it and use it to your own advantage.
Yeah,
you know?
I keep coming back to us being so uncomfortable with the age gap that you, like, I want to try and be fair to the idea of, maybe they did fall in love, or maybe they're both okay with it being, and I don't want to use it as a pejorative, but just to stay where you're at, maybe they're both okay with it being transactional.
Sure, and a lot of...
And that, to me, is...
Dude, it happens all over the world.
As long as everyone's on board and everyone is compos mentis... I'm good with it.
Yeah, I mean, it is all over the world that kind of thing happens, and you're right. You're right. As long as everybody's cool with all of it, it's just it. You know what makes this all feel a little funkier is that Bill's always been a really difficult read. He's always been a hard read, and there's always seemed something about Bill that. Is like, is there something a little mentally off or personality wise a little bit off? Just a difficult read a lot of times. Oh, he's funny. I had no idea he was funny. Oh, he's nice. I had no idea he was nice because he comes off the way he does.
When you watch him on Inside the NFL, he's so great. And the way that he interacts with the former players is really great. And he does, he makes it, with all that stuff that is in his head when it comes to football, it comes out and it's like, man, I can see, even though the exterior of him is a little brusque, that you go, oh, I get why people want to play for him, even though they know it's hard and it's difficult, because you get those glimpses of someone who cares about you or cares about the game in a way that is really special.
But there's a discomfort for the public part of it. And it seems to me a little bit of a social anxiety or a social switch that turns off for him sometimes. Like, even in that interview when he was asked, like, so 20,000 words and no mention of Robert Kraft, he says, that's correct. And just the way he says that and the dryness of it is like, what's going, are you a psychopath or did you just turn off all feeling and thought?
And do you want to sell the book? And does because that's the whole point. He wasn't just doing an interview to do an interview.
Oh, no.
He's on a book tour.
Yeah, without a doubt.
He's literally doing an interview right now on his book tour. But
he wanted this to just be about the book, and now they're upset that it was about anything else.
Well, and
CBS says that it was never specified that way.
Right. It was never specified that way. And now you have Steve Belichick's wife, like, jumping into Instagram mentions and basically being like, hey, she's not the PR person, and PR people wouldn't be sitting there interrupting the interview and making it go longer than it was. So now, like, when there are people who actually know him, it's different when it's you and I spitballing about, you know, what we think we're seeing from a million miles away.
And I'm being careful even as I'm doing that.
Right. But when Charles Barkley jumps up and is like, I'm concerned about my friend.
That's a little creepy.
When you have Steve Belichick's wife throwing a little bit of shade, you go, oh, that's...
I didn't see that one. Can you educate me?
Someone had thrown it up and she jumped into the mentions and said that... You know, someone had said, like, oh, Jordan is just acting like as a PR person. And she was like, PR people don't extend the interview by interrupting and walking out of the interviews. So, like, there's a little bit of shade there. And maybe there are people that do know him better than all of us know him that are concerned about where he's at on this. And it strikes us all as, I think the other thing is the juxtaposition of it. When we think of Bill Belichick, we think of leadership.
Yeah.
We don't think of him being led. We don't think of him needing anyone's help.
No, no.
This is the guy that put together, what, the 300-page pamphlet for North Carolina saying, this is how I plan to do all of this stuff.
We think about him as so megalomaniacal that nobody would control him. But what's a way to control just about anybody? You know, what is
love?
Sure. Let's use the word love.
We should probably use that word.
Yeah.
There are other words we could use.
She's leading him around by his heart.
Yeah.
She's
by his heartstrings.
Absolutely. That seems to be the case.
And I don't know anyone amongst us who hasn't been dumb in love.
Oh my God. Really? 100%. Of course. It happens all the time. But you know what I just flashed to? Remember when Anna Nicole Smith had hooked up with an aged man?
Oh, yeah. He was like 99.
He was very old. Clearly at the end. And she, I believe, inherited a gigantic pile. So I had a hard time believing in their love.
J. Howard Marshall.
I had a hard time believing in the magic of their love. Now this, I have an easier time believing it because Bill is still, you know, vibrant, active. He still seems like Bill for the most part. So it has, I feel like we're on the outskirts of what could be elder abuse. You know, I don't think we're all the way there. But we're on the outskirts of it. So then it becomes to me like, what's fair to look into?
Well, okay. And so the other part of this, too, is the connection with North Carolina and her kind of being out there. And she has called herself, the COO of Belichick Co., which is a company that doesn't exist.
Did she make the 300-page thing?
I don't.
Did she help him with that thing?
She might have. Just
help him put it together?
I know that she is, and she has been... He has been clear about when it comes to social media, the impact that she's having. It also could be that this is, I want to give everyone every opportunity here. It also could be him being smitten with a woman who is teaching him something.
Well, she clearly is. She's teaching him how to utilize the value of social media.
And he may have forever thought that this has no value to me at all.
Yeah.
I coach professionals, all this stuff. And then she's like, well, look, this is how easy it is.
And she's right. In the era of NIL, she couldn't be more right.
And these are the things that you can do to make things better. She apparently spoke to student media at North Carolina and with the people at North Carolina about how they should frame Steve Belichick's hiring and how they should make sure that they don't present it as it being nepotism.
Listen, I got a lot of friends. I can see her saying, I got a lot of friends who are Nepo babies, and this is the way that you got to do it if you're worried about that. Yeah, I can see that. And if he knows all of that, and he realizes the value that he's getting. Again, it's a transactional relationship.
A texter says, well, she wants a reality show, guys. Come on. Guess what? She kept them from having a reality show. Hard Knocks was going to be North Carolina. But apparently, her involvement in it was so much that HBO was like, no, we good. We good.
Maybe they saw some dysfunction.
No. The demands that she was, according to what people that she was making were too much for them. And they were close to they were on the goal line of getting this green lit.
Uh-huh.
And then it was like, nah, maybe we'll just move on and we'll do something else instead.
All right.
The demands of Hard Knocks were too much?
Her demands.
That's what I'm saying. Her demands of Hard Knocks were too much. The show that bleeped out everything during Bears.
The show that let the Bears drive the bus completely.
Yes, that show.
Hard Knocks.
Imagine, this is just knowing the business a little bit, I would imagine that there was some accreditation. Like, make sure that I'm an executive producer of something like this. From a business standpoint, if she's cool with it and he's cool with it and he is helping to elevate her this way, I could understand the power rush from her.
Oh, for
sure. Like, I am connected to one of the most powerful men in sports, and watch what I do with it.
Yeah. So now I think we agree, and I think all the listeners agree, it smells funny. The whole thing smells a little funny. We're not exactly sure. It might be all above the board, but it does smell a little funny. So then things start coming out. You mentioned the realtor. There's a story on realtor.com about her the fortune that she has amassed. Dorchester is the neighborhood. I remember when I was in school in Boston, Dorchester was not a good neighborhood. I guess it's getting a little better. It's on the up. It's on the up of the up and come, as you mentioned.
That's smart. Like, that's just good real estate.
It happens all the time. Absolutely. Then you mentioned Steve Belichick's
wife.
Okay. How about this? Is this going too far or not? The New York Post talked to a former high school classmate of hers.
I mean, I know this.
How do we feel about that?
She's only 7 years removed, but there's a lot of growth that happens between 17 and 24.
I agree.
I don't think that's fair.
So is it fair for me to share then with the class and the listeners?
I mean,
the New York Post did it.
I feel like when she's not answering questions like that, obvious, it's just natural that people are going to start digging.
Not only that, when it smells this funky,
exactly.
And you're like, what? So,
That's what this week has been. Like,
yes.
I think that this week has been the week of, wait, I think that we all kind of looked at this and saw the picture of the two of them on the beach doing the gymnastics pose. We're like, oh, well, I mean, this seems to be on the up and up, even though there's a 50-year gap between them.
Sure.
And I think this has been the week where everyone's like, perhaps we need to look a little bit closer at how this is going.
So quick straw poll. Tyler and Alex and Lawrence, raise your hand if you want to hear what the New York Post found out from the former high school classmate. It's three, ladies and gentlemen.
I am going to continue to lobby my objection, but since this is an actual
investigative
news gathering place and some people would have issues with me asserting that about the New York Post. This isn't at least like just I heard from a guy.
Right,
this is the actual New York Post. So go ahead.
Okay. A classmate from 24-year-old Jordan Hudson's high school. Quote, "That is exactly how she is. We are so unsurprised by this. None of us are shocked. We think it's hilarious. Everyone who knows her is unsurprised. That is totally something she would do." They're talking about we're not talking about that moment that we came in with. Apparently, when she was in high school, she had an older boyfriend, not quite the 49-year age gap separating her and Belichick, but one that was a couple years or 3 years her senior, and her behavior that back then is characterized this way. Quote, "She would get mad at him for something stupid and berate him and control him about something or get mad at him over random things. It was very tumultuous. Everyone knew their business. It was very dramatic." That's a high school story about Jordan Hudson.
I mean, I think a lot of us in high school similar stories like that. But again,
with a straw poll, did that add anything to the conversation or not?
Intrigue, yes.
Okay.
I would agree. Michael McCarthy, who works for Front Office Sports, is really good. Shout out to my guy, Jeff Glick, who sent this my way.
I love Jeff.
He wrote, "Every godfather needs a consigliere. Bill Belichick's problems started when he lost the personal PR guru who's been described as his right-hand man plus secret weapon. The hoodie's trying to replace Burj Najarian with Jordan Hudson. Not working out."
Wow.
You don't think Burj is related to John, do you?
Dr. J? I don't know.
We might be able to further this story.
use some of that journalistic cred. Man, I keep thinking of this one television show. When I think about where this story is going and the kind of television show it could turn into.
Flavor of Love?
Oh, man.
The Golden Bachelor?
Anybody else have another TV show that they think this might be turning into? Oh, God.
Green Acres?
That's the place to be. Farm living is the life for me. Did you watch Inventing Anna on Netflix?
Inventing Anna.
Featured what's her name? Julia Garner from the Jason Bateman show in Missouri.
Silver Spoons?
Ozark. So Julia Garner played her, and it was a Shondaland show. It was about this Russian woman who invaded New York's high society by convincing them she was a German socialite and an heiress to a massive fortune. So that's just the show that came to mind. It's like, what kind of game has Jordan Hudson been running? Is it this bad that she's been running a game and is hoodwinked Bill Belichick into this role? And the fortune, what got me going there was the real estate fortune. You sent that in. I'm like, wait a minute. Where'd she get the seed money for that?
Yeah.
Where'd she get the contacts for that? Is that something she had? Or where did this come from?
And maybe she has. Like, I think this is an industrious young woman. And I think that, and I mean this in the most positive way, I think that's a dangerous woman. And I think that she is going to be doing things for a long time.
Yes.
And now, yes, when you get like those connections to power, what do you end up doing with it?
Absolutely.
And we're seeing what she's doing with it. And dude, she is setting herself up.
There are dangerous women and dangerous men out there of this particular age group who have pulled off amazing things. And there's like a new show. There's a new documentary every week for Netflix, for Hulu, for Peacock, about scammers and people doing stuff.
Yes. And I think that people are sensitive to the idea. I think it's very easy for anyone that's our age to think about our parents and go, ooh,
oh, dude,
I would be upset if that's something that happened to my little dad, if my mom wasn't here. And she has made the point very clear that there are not supposed to be any young women in the house, and she is gone.
Oh, man. Can you imagine if Lola Falana came calling or something like that?
That would be age appropriate. Okay. But
the way that you feel about your little dad is just adorable.
He's adorable.
I know. It sounds like you want to put him in your pocket. Just carry him around.
He's great. Like, I, there are many a moment where I do wish that I could just be like, Pop, what should I do right here? Oh, and then yeah, he would go, here's the logical thing that you should do. Stop being so emotional. And then this. Yeah. So, yeah, I do wish that I could carry like a
bring him to work,
a pocket version of my dad around.
Bring him to work. Just sit right there. It'd be great.
With his little ponytail.
Did you guys see the stuff about her parents?
No. Oh, dude, I'm going to raise my hand.
Okay.
Dude, tell.
Hudson was raised in Hancock, Maine, to parents who ran a fishing business that went bankrupt after their fishing grounds were closed in 2000.
Uh-oh.
Her mother eventually moved to Provincetown on Cape Cod, where she manages a sex toy shop and museum.
Well, I mean, we don't kink shame on this show.
That's, they may not add anything.
I just wanted to point
Alex,
that out.
Let me tell you what that is, though. Let me tell you what that is. And I know that I had that moment when I was younger.
Uh-huh.
Jordan ain't never going back to being broke. Never.
Oh, that is for sure.
Never.
And that can drive you in different ways.
100%.
And it has absolutely driven some of the scammers whose documentaries I have watched.
100%. All you had to tell me is that they went bankrupt. And that she ain't never going back to broke. That is something that drives her.
And maybe she got her drive from her mom, who's clearly doing her own thing. Exactly.
Hey, and yeah, but Alex, we do have a problem. We don't kink shame. If you're going to be hanging around here, like,
no shame.
No, it's, you brought up the sex toy shop as if it was something to be ashamed of, is what it felt like. And
if you got that from me, that's not how I intended to come out.
All right, good.
So
good.
I apologize, Jordan.
I really approve of sex toy shops for people. The one that on Mr. Show, the old family sex toy shop that they used to run, Bob and David, was a beautiful thing. And Provincetown is a very free and wonderful part of the world. So good for them.
Yeah, I.
But she still might be crazy.
She's interesting, man. Like, she's really interesting. And how this plays out, because now some of the whispers are starting to come out of Chapel Hill, it's like, we didn't sign up for this.
All right, I have a theory of how this is going to blow up.
Okay.
Should I hold on to that or should I share that? It's pure speculation.
We have another. Oh, yeah, you know what? We can fit it into the next segment. I mean, we were going to do some more hardcore football, but it's a good teaser.
Some hands raised.
It's a good teaser. Speaks has a theory
on how this is going to blow up.
He'll share it with you next on The Score.
Spiegel and Holmes.
We're not afraid to remind people when we've had something correct.
That should be a tagline for this show.
Who taught you how to do this stuff?
You, all right?
I learned it from watching you, Lawrence.
I learned it by watching you.
Afternoons on The Score.
Am I crazy? Yes. Or did we already resolve the issue that Sean Levine cannot be out here calling himself the sports machine?
I think the only person who doesn't seem to get that is Sean Levine. You know? But it rubs me the wrong way every single time.
George, Tyler, weren't you here the last time that we had declared that he cannot call himself the sports machine? And then we sent you on a history lesson for you to find out about George Michael's sports machine, not that George Michael, the other George Michael.
I remember it vividly. It was me and Sean Sears sitting next to me, and yeah, you guys gave me the history lesson that was the real sports machine.
Yeah, George Michael had the real sports machine.
Andrew, he hit that button.
By the way, Andrew Ridgely's sports machine did not do nearly as well as George Michael's did. At all.
That's a Wham joke.
Thank you.
Do you understand that on the other side of the glass, like,
it's for you, man.
I know it's for me, and I appreciate it.
It's for you, and it's for the listeners.
Are you guys even a combined 60 years old?
How old are you, Tyler?
23.
No.
Oh, God.
Not even close. All right. Not even close. Are you guys a combined 50?
Yes. Yes, we are.
See, this is good. We
are a combined 57.
We are educating the hell out of these people. You know, Lawrence, it's like somebody's got to do it. I just taught them about Provincetown. Taught them about that.
Yeah. Yes, you did.
Didn't I?
And you'll be getting an email from HR any minute
I
now.
I don't think that's necessary. All right, so look, I think we've done God's work in furthering the conversation about Jordan Hudson and Bill Belichick, and kind of just filling people in and trying to flesh out what we think is happening here. And I did tease you with this, that I had a vision of how this all blows up and goes down. Okay? How this all... And I'm surprised no one else has gotten there. And maybe you guys have. Do you have any idea where I'm going, Tyler, Alex? Anybody have any idea where I'm going here?
He asked me about this during the break, and I was like, don't tell me. Just do it on the air. Okay. We'll figure it out.
If I'm going to the TV movie version of this and thinking about the way it goes down, it ends with her being caught with an assistant coach, or, God forbid, a player within the North Carolina program.
Maybe a motorcycle?
There could be a motorcycle involved. And it their love with someone who's actually her age and seems to perhaps be a better spiritual fit on some level, she couldn't help herself. And then the full transactional nature of her relationship with Bill is exposed. It all blows up, and Bill gets empathy, and she gets shame. That's the way it blows up. Am I wrong that
when do you think this could all
how
unfold?
Long is his
I
North
hope it's that soft of a landing, honestly, at this point.
How long I'm with is, you, Alex.
How long is his... Well, I mean, I stopped with shame. There might... Because it might get worse than that, right? It could... If she's exposed, then God knows what happens if it's all that way. This is all conjecture based on my many years of watching television.
Or... Or Bill right. could be totally okay with that.
With that. Oh, right. Bill's like, yeah, that's fine. That's fine.
There's a whole
as long as she comes back,
there's a whole section of that type of activity that is out here for you.
So that's what you're talking about earlier, like maybe he's okay with it.
Yeah, this is
what you
this
never
is
know.
Why, okay.
You never
okay,
know
Alex,
what people
this
are
is
okay
why
with.
We don't
And that's why you were saying
That's
it's
why we don't
coming
shame,
together now
because there are plenty of people that are living that life
yeah,
right
it's
now.
It's true,
and they're like, "Oh, you know what? There's a whole bunch of songs about it in the '90s. One of them went, "It ain't no fun if the homies can't have none." So you know,
I hear you, and there are a lot of people who are out with it, and crazy stuff goes on. In a related story, I'm really looking forward to the next season of The White Lotus. You know, I mean, every one of those relationships, there's a great scene at the party. I think it's the party on the boat.
Shout out to Belinda.
On the White Lotus. Yeah, well done, Belinda. But there's that scene where, like, you look around and all it is bald old guys and their young girlfriends. It's just couple after couple after couple. Somebody needs to, if nobody's done it yet on social, that's my gift to you. Go ahead and meme Bill and Jordan into that scene.
My girlfriend Lexi told me that the Ratliff father in that show was modeled after a Bravo star. So there has to be a character in the next season that is Jordan Hudson, right?
Well, like, look,
we got to make this happen.
No.
It's probably Mike White's written it already.
Alex, you're on to something, but I'm going to tell you where it's going to happen. It's not going to happen on White Lotus. You know where it's going to happen? You know where it's going to happen, Speaks?
No.
On Law & Order.
Oh, no, dude, probably already this year.
Ripped from the headlines.
They're so fast. They're almost as fast as South Park.
Executive producer, Dick Wolf.
Dun, dun.
All right. So now we can get you exactly.
Thank you very
Tyler.
Much. Well done.
All right. We can get you out of this conversation by going back to having a real football conversation if you want.
I don't know if I want to get out of it.
All right.
I'm good. Go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I mean, you know, we could stay here and finish the segment.
No, I think we did.
Because the stuff that we have for the next segment is now equally better. Is wild.
No, we're good. We're good. Go to it.
Do you want? I'm dead serious. Like, we could take a break now because the stuff that we have in the next segment is banana pants.
It's banana
cuckoo pants.
Yeah. Well, you know, this is your Friday. You're off tomorrow. This feels like a banana pants hour that ought to continue being banana pants.
Okay. All right. So we'll leave the hardcore football till Monday.
Uh-huh.
All right. We can do that because we did basically an hour of hardcore football at 4 o'clock.
It was juicy. It was sexy. And it was sexier than the past couple of segments, I think. The football stuff.
It was.
Yeah.
Well, you got Lomas Brown on the show.
Uh-huh.
When we come back, there is something that you are guaranteed to see on social media this weekend or next week, and you're going to laugh as hard as the rest of the crew did when I showed it to them this afternoon, because it's ridiculous. And it's also connected to another ridiculous thing that this person did. We'll share next on The Score.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Check Todd out at The Ringer. He's doing incredible stuff with the Todd McShay Show.
You guys are the not messing around crew. I like it.
Afternoons on The Score.
Stephen A. Smith has had a very interesting week, including what some might think is a prelude to him eventually running for president of the United States. Being on, was it News Nation, and interviewing the president of the United States. And then he says something about Harvard, but the president thought he was talking about Harlem, and then he got all conflated.
I wonder why he thought that. I wonder why his mind did that.
I'm not here to judge. I'm just here to report. So there was that.
Yeah, so, I mean, how many presidential candidates, though, if that's what he wants? There's stuff in his past that I don't know if he can get, you know, get through. Like
Stephen A. Smith?
Yeah, like being on General Hospital.
Yeah, so this is what if you guys didn't know, Stephen A. has been on General Hospital for probably a decade.
Like on and off, clearly. Like he's not.
Yeah, like he's a regular. He is one of legendary soap opera character Sonny Corinthos's thugs. He's one of his bagmen on the show. And so that you understand what's going on.
So this is the show. I mean, my sisters were really into Luke and Laura back in the day.
General Hospital. There's a whole song written about it.
And I watched
Jeannie Francis.
Yeah, I watched some General Hospital.
Married to Jonathan Frakes, a.k.a. Commander Riker from Star Trek The Next Generation.
That's a lovely couple.
Mm-hmm. And they have been for a long time. I think they've been married like 40 years.
He plays trombone.
Yeah.
As does Riker.
Riker on the show, absolutely.
He's on a Fish album, is Jonathan Frakes. I'm pretty sure. Anyway, continue.
So anyway, to set the scene, because some of this you can't, like, you need to see it, and please seek it out because it's hysterical. Sonny Corinthos, he is in a hospital bed, and there's a nurse that's trying to execute him. But here comes Stephen A.'s character to check credentials and save the day.
Sorry to interrupt. I'm gonna need to see some ID. ID. Now.
Of course.
And now she reaches for a gun. And Stephen A. smokes her.
He shoots her?
Yes.
Straight up shoots her?
With the silencer on.
I don't think you can run for president once you've murdered somebody on General Hospital. I don't think you can do it. Certainly the current political landscape would not accept a TV past of any kind, in my opinion.
Didn't Reagan murder someone on General Hospital back in the 70s or something?
I don't know.
Basically a prerequisite at this point for candidates.
I only say that because he was an actor. He probably did a soap opera.
He probably did a soap
along
opera.
Along with doing Cubs games.
My favorite Reagan thing, by the way. Yeah, he did he do Cubs games?
I'm pretty sure Ronald Reagan did Cubs games.
I'll tell you what he definitely did, Ronald Reagan from Dixon, Illinois. The thing where, you know, old baseball play-by-play guys used to do games based on just the ticker tape, just like the results, and they would pretend that the game was actually happening.
You see it on in the movie 8 Men Out.
Yes, where they're creating the game out of the game broadcast from whole cloth. Like they have a Foley artist who's doing the sound effects, and they're pretending that there's an actual game. Reagan did that early in his career. He did phony ball games like that.
It says here he would call Chicago Cubs games, but rather than being at the game, he would recreate the action from nothing but a slip of paper typed by a telegraph operator.
There it is.
Who was transcribing plays sent via Morse code.
There you go.
So we were both right.
Yeah, we were. And I didn't realize it was Cubs, but there you go. My love of play-by-play on the PBP Voices
you should get
of
him
Baseball.
On. Yeah. That'd be a hell of a book.
And by the way, there's a song on the Fish album Hoist in 1994 called Riker's Mailbox. He lived next door to the producer of Fish.
Oh, that's great.
And Fish said, oh my God, because they were trekkers, and they got him to come
Trekkies.
In. And Trekkies. And he called them trekkers in this interview I'm looking at.
I've got to tell this to Maggie Hendricks, who is like, that is the person that I most will text about Star Trek. Maggie and I have the same birthday too, so we're birthday twins, and we both love Star Trek. I don't know if she knows this, so I'm going to have to share it with her.
Outstanding. So now Stephen A. Smith also talked about something you've been passionate about all week, which is that Jeff Ulbrich and his 21-year-old son Jax should have faced penalty, and then they eventually did face penalty from the Atlanta Falcons, from the NFL.
But it wasn't enough for Stephen A., and you know what? We don't always agree, but we agree on this.
Who was thinking about it? We've talked about a lot of things in football. Have we ever talked about Jeff Ulbrich? Have we ever mentioned him on national television? But he's a household name this morning because his son didn't think about his daddy, who unquestionably loves him, took care of him, raised him. You in college now, no doubt still living off daddy, and you would do something like that to him. You should be ashamed of yourself. You should have your ass whipped. I know you're 21, but you, at the very least, roll up on campus and slap you upside your damn head.
He's right.
What an insensitive thing to do.
Man.
Stephen A. is 100% right.
21-year-old should have his ass whipped?
Yes.
Oklahoma drills for days.
Everybody and seems to agree.
I will make a slight note, and if I were producing First Take, I would have popped in the Stephen A's ear and been like, Stephen A, the guy you're talking about was the interim head coach of the Jets. We spent a lot of time talking about him last year.
So you think Stephen doesn't know that that's who that is?
He says so much that we've all been there that's one of those things like, oh yeah, we totally spent a week talking about that.
It's hard for me to picture the 21-year-old, like, you know, put him over my knee. Come here.
That's why I said Oklahoma drill. Football coach, football player. It's a perfect punishment.
Who's the Atlanta Falcon member of that defense that Jeff Ulbrich could bring in and say, you're going to run Oklahoma drills with Jax?
Unfortunately, he plays defensive line for the Bears now. Grady Jarrett would have been the choice.
That would have been the right guy.
Grady
still might do it for you.
He might. I would say, hey, Bijan, I got an idea. Can you come over to this side of the ball for a second? You and my son are going to do the Oklahoma drill. Or he could bring his son to practice or bring the guys to his son. And maybe there's a little bull in the ring drill.
Could be. Could be.
$100,000. You cost your dad $100,000.
That's a lot of money.
Assistant coaches make good money, but they don't make money where $100,000 doesn't hurt.
I'm not gonna be spending that on the bar mitzvah, I'll tell you this much.
Are you sure?
Do I see Mark Grody over there?
Yeah, he's gonna be on after we're done.
Is it Grody solo or is it Take the North? It's Grody. Come on, man. That's amazing.
That means you're in
3 hours of Grody coming up.
That's high quality radio that people get. That's
outrageous. You're in for a whole bunch of yucks. I can tell you that much.
I got Mark Grody back tomorrow. Lawrence, you got the day off. Mark Grody's going to be hanging out with me tomorrow. So
good.
We got stuff.
Sounds like you got the better hand.
tomorrow, Olin Krutz is going to be on with me and Groats tomorrow. And Wayne Randazzo, who calls the Apple TV baseball games, will be on.
So we got him?
We did. Apple TV doesn't know anything about it. And that's the way they want it. Some weird ass stuff going on there. And we might have somebody else as well. But anyway, enjoy your 3-day weekend, sir.
I'm looking forward to it. Although I think I'm probably just going to spend some time having my car serviced tomorrow. It's like one of those things where you're like, you don't think about it. And then you're like, oh, yeah, I guess I do have a day where I could go get that done.
That counts. Yeah. That counts.
Yeah, it'll take some stress off.
Take care of some administrative stuff.
I was so happy. Like, I administer the midterm for my kids today over at DePaul. And with the game, they finished it fairly early. I was able to grade it. So, like, that's done. I don't have to wait until Sunday to get, like, it's done. It's already uploaded. Their grades are already uploaded.
Outstanding.
It's a good feeling, man. I'm going to go get me a nacho.
There you go.
I think that's the call for tonight. Kick it out in these streets.
Good job, Alex Kuhn.
Yeah. Tyler, you and Alex did a really great job today. That was outstanding work, and the difference in age is troubling. But we survived it, and we worked through it, and that's a very, very good
thing. You guys
good
learned us some stuff.
Well, we learned from you guys that you're very young as a tandem, and it's troubling how young you are. Especially you, Tyler.
I always learn when I'm with you guys. I always do.
Yeah, you learn that guy is not the sports machine.
No, he's not.
No, that's right.
He said it the first time. He's like, I am insulted that this guy keeps using.
That's right.
Would it be a good use of our radio power to have Sean Levine on and just berate him in front of our audience?
I'll give him a call tonight.
He might enjoy the bit. He might.
Oh, I'm sure he does.
He seems like the type of guy that would enjoy the
bit. I think so. I think that's part of why he's doing it.
Yeah, it might be like so that geezers like us can. No, yes. Let's do it. Let's do it next week. If we can do it next week and get him on, it's good cross promotion too.
Sure.
All that good stuff. For Tyler, for Alex, for my partner, Matt Spiegel, I'm Lawrence Holmes saying thank you so much for the love and support that you show this show. We will try to repay the favor tomorrow too. Groats is in for me, and he's up next on the score.
I don't care who they put on. When Joe Buck's on, I turn the sound down. George.